Let's get them.
We have to be good now.
We have to be good.
Yeah, that's behavior.
We are actually going into the archives now and being recorded. So anyway, good to see everybody. Nice group this morning. And as we've talked the last couple of weeks, we were anxious to hear from anyone or two of you this morning as to sharing your life with us. I don't know who anticipates going first or who wants to jump in, but you're welcome to do that. Anybody? Give us a little bit of a bio, a background, and then I'd love for you to wrap it up with the with a statement as to how or when the revelation of Christ in you really began, really became, you were aware of it. And so that's kind of the end all or the chief aim in my mind this morning and in the coming weeks is to hear our stories. How, as Annie and Chrissy were talking with before here, about how when the light bulb comes on, yeah, in your spirit. So,
well, what better way to start off than with Mr. Deerdorf?
Oh, you've heard enough of my story. I've been telling you my story for months.
We can never hear enough of your story, Dennis. I mean, you were a pastor at the church, you know, and you told me a couple of times about, you know, the revelation when it came to you, and it was.
Let me say just quickly, Scott, and then I want to defer back to whoever. It took me 40 plus years in pastoral ministry to discover the fact of Christ in me.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those years are not wasted if it meant coming to the realization of knowing Christ. And I sort of follow Paul in that, where Paul said, I count everything in my life as just garbage for the sake of knowing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm realizing he meant by that is that I don't hold on to any of that, but I thank God for it because it brought me to the knowledge of Christ.
Well, we don't hold on to it because everything else that came before us is already gone.
It's not worth anything anymore. Only in the fact that it leads you to the realization of Christ in you and how it's changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, enough about me there. I want us to hear from each other. So.
Do you want to set a time limit?
Yeah. Okay.
Go. Oh, geez.
Joan, we're going to go down that road.
We could take up the whole hour. So,
You know, the 5 minutes was kind of what we came up with, but you know, we don't want to confine the Lord here, what he wants to say through you. So if you want to start off and share, yeah.
I'll just start off quickly with Joan and I both grew up as Catholics. And so the structure of the church is more your God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for revelation and all that, you go to the priest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me personally, it's just been within our Zoom time that I've and it's a big jump from mm-hmm. the church grabbing a hold of all this structure and the freedom of mm-hmm. Jesus and knowing Jesus, you know. It's a huge jump. So
isn't that amazing? So you're the church, the Roman Catholic Church especially, was the authority then in your life?
Yeah, that was our Bible and our God almost, you know. And I don't know that they meant to be. Well, they might have been, but you know, they had such a hold on you, and then the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to my sister yesterday, and I was explaining this a little bit to her, and she's a tried and true Catholic and all that. And she said, do you ever feel any question about thinking that way or changing? And, you know, I just said, no, you know, it's such a freedom. It's such a freeing up. And I mentioned, you know, the, all the guilt through the years. And so. Sure.
So, yeah. Jerry, you were you born into Catholicism, yeah. your family?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
And then where was that? Were you, for the sake of everybody else here, I kind of know, but say, where was your origin, birth, and family, where you grew up?
Well, I was born in North Dakota.
Oh, no.
One of nine children.
Wow.
And we were farmers in North Dakota, and then, they had the drought and all that, so we came west to Oregon, and tried and true Catholic family all the way mm-hmm. through. And then I married Joan, and she was the same as she was Catholic also. So mm-hmm. that worked out really good for a while. But, you know, the church, it just has a hold on you that mm-hmm. that if you want an answer, you go to the church. You don't go to the Bible, you know.
Right.
So that's such a neat revelation to uh-huh.
yeah.
think. But it's still, the transition is not easy to really yeah. come to.
Now, what was your profession? What did you?
I was a high school teacher and a coach.
And yeah. a coach, okay.
Yeah.
And largely baseball, right?
Baseball mainly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you, how long did you teach? How many years?
30 years.
30 years. What school primarily?
Park Rose High School.
Park Rose.
And it's actually the same high school I was a student at.
Oh, wow.
So I came back, and my old teachers were my, you know, my working partners.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And then you and Joan met
at Oregon State
or before?
At Oregon State.
Oregon State.
Yeah.
Yay,
She's a sweet little freshman, and I was a senior, so I just, overpowered her.
Oh, that's it's interesting because my next door neighbor on the other side here, he played baseball at Oregon State.
Oh, what's his name?
I just know his first name. His first name's Steve.
Oh,
do you know him?
Jerry might know him.
I'm sure you know him.
Yeah, it's possible. Jerry keeps up on baseball.
I do. Yeah.
So you met in college, and you were married shortly.
I went into the military for 2 years after college. Then I came back. Then got in touch with Joan, and she's mm-hmm. just finishing up nursing school at OHSU.
All right.
You know, it was a 5-year program there. She got her degree plus her nursing degree. So,
we're kind of stealing Joni's thunder here. So, Joni, what that was your primary profession then for all those years? You went right into nursing?
Yeah, I did. And my background is has similar paths, but very, very different because I was an only child for mm-hmm. 16 years. But I had the same sort of beginning. Taught at a Catholic grade school up until the sixth grade and learned how to try to avoid knuckle wraps over the knuckles and ruler wraps over the knuckles and grabbing me by the ear and dragging me down the hall. And, you know, that's what the nuns did.
But you were a good girl. Away. How come you? Yeah, you were.
I had a huge faith in Jesus, and I carried him and my guardian angel on my shoulder all the time. And I don't know where that came from, really, because my parents didn't take me to church. I walked to church because the church told me I needed to be there every Sunday.
Yeah.
And every first Friday, and we just went to confession. If we meet on Fridays, we went to confession a lot of times. And then as I got older, I didn't like that idea. I liked better to be able to just talk to God and confess with God. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize that I was forgiven by God, mm-hmm. Jesus, by Jesus' death. But it was through our contact with you, and of course, leading up to that, other women's Bible study fellowships that
right.
that caused me to ask questions about what I did believe and what I was learning, and opening up to Christianity rather than just being a Catholic. And that's where things really started to bloom for me. And when Jerry and I married, we were married in the Catholic Church, but we didn't, when we were in college, when we were first married, we didn't go to church. We just had fun. And without guilt. Well, with
yeah.
guilt.
Yeah, with guilt.
But
you just didn't have a nun chasing you with a ruler, is all.
Yeah, right. One day after we started our family, our kids were really little, we just looked at one another one day and said, you know, this is such a great life, but there's got to be more. There's mm-hmm. got to be more. So we started searching for Christ
mm-hmm.
at that time. And that's when we went to, all sorts of basic youth conflicts and women's Bible studies mm-hmm. and men's Bible study. We just went through it all. So we became born again Catholics is what we were.
Yeah.
And so when this idea that you're presenting came to us, it was such a revelation because we have been bred and reared and always understanding the fact that we were always guilty. We were guilty mm-hmm. for something and we didn't always know what it was, but we were needed to go to confession. And what you've brought into our life, or what we've begun to realize with Jesus in us mm-hmm. and that he died on the cross for our sins and that our sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Past, present, and future, no matter what, I can't even explain in words.
Yeah, this sin thing is so huge, you know. Well,
for Catholics, yes, it's, yeah.
Remember, we talked about yesterday, Dennis, it's a mm-hmm. big thing for people in the church, too.
Absolutely. The sin management factor is the way the church gets you keep, it's the self-sustaining process of keeping members mm-hmm. coming
yeah.
back.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I ask you guys something? Do y'all still go to confession at all?
No.
Okay.
Haven't for a couple of years. Well, longer than that. Probably 8 years, 10 years. And we used to, you know, you used to have to go to confession once a month or you'd go to hell, right?
So, yeah.
Well, we're facing now grandchildren and coming up with great-grandchildren. We're facing how to relate to them
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to preach how important it is to go to church because really actually we're a little bit confused about how important that is but mm-hmm. because we know the importance of our faith in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and what that means in our lives, but how do we teach our little children
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. about that? And they're not even our children; they're our grandchildren and children, great grandchildren. So that's a confusing part for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is what mm-hmm. to witness to them, and they see how we live and how we pray before meals and we say prayers all the time. But that's nothing concrete for a child. So mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. know.
No, that's a good question. We should probably make that as a topic at some point in the future here. But what is our role as parents and grandparents
mm-hmm. yeah. in
the lives of our children as far as coming to know God?
Especially when you don't agree with their lifestyle is,
exactly.
you know. So yeah. you don't want to preach and turn them off,
right?
And you want to be a positive yeah. influence on their life. So,
and it's kind and of a tough one. I'll just say, Jerry, that so much pressure was put on us as parents by the church, Catholic or Protestant, that we are responsible for the spiritual lives of our children. Does that go away, or do we still have to do that? What is it? Yeah, that's a good question. Good question. Yeah. So life now for you guys, of course, retirement and living, what are you enjoying these years? Are they,
how do you feel? These years, Dennis, now I've been retired longer than I worked. You know, I've been retired over 30 years. Joan then retired eight times, I think. She retired and the doctor called her back, so she worked again. But these years now are so meaningful, and life is so free and easy for us now. It's never been so easy.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and this ties into a question that Scott and I engaged in yesterday. What is the value, or is there any more, for institutional church in your life?
That's a good question. A really good question.
That's why I brought it up.
Is it still high on, you said you don't feel guilty anymore for not attending.
Yeah.
You still feel guilty for not attending?
Well, you know, we've gone to Catholic mass for funerals and stuff. And you know, when you see, you actually evaluate what's going on with all the, you know, holy water and the structure and the ceremony and routine. That's what it is. And then the big thing with the Catholic Church, you know, is the Eucharist. That's the big draw. But I've kind of questioned that as well. How can a person change this into the body and blood of Jesus, you know?
Right.
So when I look at that, I'm so much more into what we're talking about and doing these days than, you know. So
if there is an aspect of the institutional church that you miss, what would it be? Is there anything?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. One is Mary, the Mother of God. Mm-hmm. Joan and I have been all over Portugal and Medjugorje and Mexico to see Mary revealing herself to these children. I mean, it's hard to get that out of my mind because we actually saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tough one. Then I spend a lot of time with the monks, you know, with the Trappist monks that don't speak, and then the Mount Angel monks that are educators in seminaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple things that you know, are just I just kind of with me, I guess, you know.
Okay, sure. Okay. Now, as you come up on Sunday mornings or whenever it was the ritual time of the week that you attended, is what comes to your mind when you say, well, we're not going to go, but does something say, it's sad, we're going to miss?
It's getting less and less, you know. This COVID thing, you know, it's going on 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kept us, and we could go back to church on Sunday and we talk about it, and but we haven't gotten back yet, but you know, we'd rather do Zoom.
Okay. what in valuing the there are a lot of values in the institutional church. Like it or not, it you know, I can say 40 plus years of serving in that environment, there were a lot of good benefits. A lot of wonderful things happened.
I would disagree with the with some of that.
Well, okay, Scott, that's your experience.
Well, no, I mean I agree that there is some value with the institutional church, but I think that the value rests more along the lines of fellowship and community and
that's
that kind of thing, more than anything else.
Yeah, that's what I miss.
That's what I was primarily alluding to. Some wonderful relationships were established over the years, and we still value those relationships. And even today, there many of those people are still good friends.
Everyone's singing
at the surface. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chrissy.
I miss everyone singing together. That energy, everyone singing and praising worship together was
okay.
Was pretty special. And my voice isn't so great, so drowning me out was always.
Yeah.
I remember at New Hope, and when they would have the praise and worship at the morning service, it really didn't matter how bad of a singer you were because the music always drowned out the
That's what I mean.
One of the amazing features of New Hope was the quality of worship music and choir. Dale and Margie made that one of the primary aspects of that ministry. And they knew right off how important it was, or how beneficial it was for people to have that experience of being in that environment where people singing and worshiping and sharing in music. Yeah. Music is a wonderful medium
right.
to expose and to engage with the heart of God. That was the thing that amazed me as well when I first became, well, even before I became staff on New Hope, was, oh, wow, if we wanted to have a great worship experience, we'd sneak off and sit in a service at New Hope. My wife and I would, prior, even months or year before we ever became part of staff. So, yeah, that's a great benefit we miss. And, yeah, I tell you, for my wife's sake, that's probably the biggest thing she misses.
Yeah.
And yeah, she could put music on in the car and she could watch it on television, but it isn't the same. That's one aspect that
didn't you and Shirley ever think about going back and just for a visit for to one of the services? Or
I wouldn't go necessarily back to New Hope. We have attended churches from time to time, and here was the attitude: we went for the music and tolerated the message.
Andy and I have joked that would it be good to go for worship and leave?
Yes.
There's a servant starts to see Dennis walking out the door.
Yeah, he had to do it very, very.
Remember the music at Promise Keepers.
Question.
It all is. I don't miss church at all. There's nothing I want to go back to. I've been to so many different churches in my life that, honestly, when I started reading the Bible for myself and after I talked to you, everything for me has changed. I don't have any interest in any of that artificial stuff anymore.
Church means something totally different now.
I miss interacting with people. I don't care about the fellowship or the sermon or anything like that, but I do miss connecting with people.
That's one thing that I'd like to hear
from Andy. I echo that sentiment.
From Andy is why he doesn't, why he doesn't miss going back. Or and I mean, for me personally, it's the only reason I would go back is for the people.
That's the same for me. That's true though. Not all of them, but
it's the people, it's the interaction that I miss. But then when I really think about it, it was just like, it was so superficial, really.
And Dennis,
made a bunch of friends there.
Dennis and I talked about this yesterday morning, just reiterated it, is that the church isn't the building. The church isn't the congregation. The church is all of us. Yeah. It's the people.
And so you can find that experience amazingly in other places, not in a qualified brick and mortar building.
And
I want to, this may sound heretical, but my wife and I enjoy country music, and especially some of you know, we make almost an annual pilgrimage last 2 years to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
And I can tell you some evenings, and we've sat in that 5,000 seat auditorium and listened and participated in what really was more spiritual and more uplifting than a lot of church experiences I've been to.
A lot of those country musicians, they get their, and their roots are pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Well, set in gospel music. Scott, excuse me, it felt like church because they were lifting up Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many of those gospel country artists are faith-based.
Mm-hmm.
Their convictions and their stories, their music comes out of that faith. And they are allowed in the environment of the Grand Ole Opry to express that freely. And it's amazing to us when we've experienced, we've sat there now half a dozen times, how the people respond. It's like, oh, you'll see a hand raise, and there's one over here, and you'll see people beginning to sing. You know, when you have the common theme of Jesus.
I think the word you said that is perfect is freely. I think traditional church, whether it's Catholic or anything, is you don't feel free when you're in building. Your eyes are kind of, you know, keeping an eye on yourself in a certain way, but when you're in something like that, you can be, it feels more free to me. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I start off by saying that, but the freely part really.
Yes. Yes. That's-
well, going back to what Jerry was saying is that the church environment, be the institutional church or the Catholic church, I mean, there's expectations on you when you step into that building.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. I mean, that doesn't breed freedom. I mean, that's...
I've never had as much fun when I speak in other... I've had the opportunity to speak in other environments, been a guest speaker, or a guest even Sunday morning, to play with the people. And I'll say, okay, you can say amen. If you like what you hear, you can raise a hand. Or you,
you know what?
Really?
You know, it's funny you bring that up.
They look it over to each other. Really? Is it okay here?
It's funny you bring that up, Dennis, because I've been with you at a couple of your speaking assignments when you go and talk to the men's ministries. And
yes, it's fun to play with these guys, especially if you know their context, their cultural, however they've established these norms, as Chrissy talks, and every church has its unwritten norms about what is not kosher.
Like, that's the thing, you just know. And part of it is, when Jerry and Joan were talking, it all just floods back because I was raised Catholic as well. And just you go in and you do the things, you do the cross. And for me, I mean, I don't know if it's okay to start talking about my own, because.
Okay, no, go for it. No.
But for me, it was just, raised Catholic, so baptized as a baby and went through all the things. But it wasn't for me until I was in high school and I was reading in the Bible, and I was just like, gosh, some of this doesn't make sense to me. Why can't I talk to God directly? I never, I don't know. in order to talk to God, that didn't ever make sense to me. And it wasn't in the Bible like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I was asking my mom these questions, and she couldn't give me any answers. And that I didn't like, because I didn't want to go against anything that the Bible said. Like, to me, that was, you know, the heart of what I was, my faith, and it was what the Bible was saying. And so, and it talks in, you know, not to go against in that sense. And so anyway, And then I invited one of my best friends in high school who was not of any spiritual faith at all, and invited her to Mass one week. And that's when I actually, the best way I can say it is, I stepped outside of being a Catholic and looked at all the things. I was like, wow, it's really kind of weird that we all know to stand at this specific time. We all know to, we all, and because to her, she was like, why are we kneeling right now? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just what we do. So it really made me just question things in a very different way. And anyway, and so that was in high school, and that was around the time that I met Andy. And Andy was born and raised Christian. And so I was talking to him and just having questioned kind of where I was and everything. I was like, you know, I don't think I'm Catholic anymore. I think I put that label on. I just wanted such a personal relationship with God, and I just didn't have it there. And so the hard part was my mom was a nun before she had us. So she left being a nun.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very Catholic, I'll say that.
Yeah. What inspired her to leave, Chrissy? Can I?
Yeah, she wanted to start a family. And okay. So she met my dad, and
there's a movie about that.
Oh, interesting.
Sound of Music. Well, no, Sound of Music. Sound of Music. Bring it on track.
Sound of Music.
It could be. Stranger things have happened.
And so I met Andy, and we just had a lot of great conversations about faith and about all kinds of stuff. And anyway,
we rang up a phone bill.
Yes, back when there was an actual phone bill was a thing. Okay. So anyway, and so I talked to my mom. She didn't like that I had questions about Catholicism and things like that. But when I actually told her, it's a big deal for me because it was really hard.
Yeah. Hard
to, like, verbally say that to my mother, who I knew was, you know, very Catholic. And so anyway, so I just told her, you know, I don't consider myself a Catholic anymore. I consider myself a Christian. And, not happy, to say the least. She was just upset. And one of my aunts actually like asked her, she was like, well, does she still believe in God? Like, isn't that what the important part is, kind of a thing? For my mom, it really honestly, I don't think was. I think, like Jerry was saying, I think being Catholic was her God. And that really, that's hard, you know? I mean, it's hard for me to know that that's so entrenched in her, and that has become her God is Catholicism over faith in God. And it just, I mean, anyway, that, but I wasn't going to deny, you know, what this deeper sense of who I, you know, really am. And anyway, so Andy and I met, and then we got married very young, and she didn't like that either. Anyway, all kinds of things. But Andy and I met, and then we went to a lot of different churches, and then here and there. But then I think, similar to Joan and Jerry, we were young, and we just wanted to enjoy being married and all of that. So we did, and then I don't know, all kinds of stuff happened. So that's part of Andy's testimony. I'll let him talk about some of that. But anyway.
Sorry, I was managing the dog.
No worries. A lot of Christian churches here and there, but then we just decided, you know, we've had enough of this and that. We went to one, and like there was a young adult group, and I ended up finding out that the young adult pastor or whatever, like, told the girls in the group to be friends with me. And it was like, thanks. I mean, it was really,
weird.
Yeah. And so it's like, weird. I'm not looking for some sort of sympathy, friendship or something. It was really just because we were new, but it was just weird the way they acted about it. And it just didn't feel right. So anyway, so we decided to start a Bible study, and we've been doing a Bible study for the last 4 years, and it's just been really neat. And throughout the Bible study, there have been times where it's like, let the light of Christ shine in you. You know, it's like there were little moments here and there where I felt like we were so close to the. So it just kind of, it makes me laugh looking back and thinking about it, or going through my old notes and just being like, oh, we were so close. Mm-hmm. And then talking to you, Dennis, a month and a half ago, and it was just, it was the light bulb moment. And I was telling Dennis that for me, it really, honestly, that day was a funeral and a baptism in like the flat. It really, I felt a funeral for my old self. I'm not that person anymore. Yeah. And then I felt a baptism into who I truly am. And that was just like, this is what baptism is. And I really felt it. And, and it just, it's been incredible. And it just, I feel so grateful for the awakening and, and it just to feel free. I mean, that freedom aspect of it is so powerful. So a simplicity in it. That's part of like too, is it's like you realize how complicated church makes the Bible, or just, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Don't complicate it. It's not supposed to be that complicated. I mean, it was like, oh. And then you think about anything you're going through or this or that, it's like, I'm just being led. I'm just being guided. And it feels so simple to not resist it and just let it happen. And it's pretty neat.
So Chrissy, what strikes me in your sharing your personal testimony, God was working and leading you to this realization way back. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think all of us can concur. We can see if we trace back where it started to, you think really was this little spark, and then it grew and grew. And then boom, you have a light bulb moment in which a fuller revelation comes.
Yes.
And I want to encourage all of us here. I'm convinced that is only a beginning.
Yeah.
None of us are fully there.
Right.
None of us fully. I don't. There's so much more. As I've said, I'm coming to the conclusion of this little treatise that I'm putting together, and I realized, wow, I got to stop this particular portion of the story in order to start another, because more revelation is coming.
It's kind of like what you're saying too. It's kind of like an egg, and you're inside the egg, and cracks start to form in the egg from, because I could see that early on. Like there was a crack formed when I started to question this or that, and then more cracks. But then I really sort of like broke out of the shell in a sense.
Yes.
When that happened, but I still feel like a baby chick. You know what I mean? It's like there's still so much more.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I can fully see, it feels like. And that's neat.
And that's excitement. That's the joy that is there, the freedom. And that only begins, that just is a taste. It's just, it's going to grow more and more as this realization comes. Now, what can you do to foster that? Is there anything we need to do to see that grow? What is our role in that, everyone? Do we have to read more? Do we have to study more? Do we have to pray more? Do we have to have more Zoom meetings? What really causes that revelation to increase in each of us?
Well, I think we're just along for the ride.
Okay.
Because even Paul tells us, you know, it wasn't anything that he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, you know, in God's timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think spot on to that too, is that it's like, I don't feel, I no longer actually feel like I have to do anything. That was a problem. That was part of the problem, is I thought, I have to do this or I have to do that. And you were really grabbing for what am I doing enough? Am I doing the right things?
Sure.
But once I was awakened to the spirit of Christ in me, I tell you the hunger, that's when the hunger really started. And the third for the Bible and knowledge and just really like, I don't even, it's not even like, oh, I need to get into my Bible today. It's just, I know I'm going to, I don't even like it. It's not even a question. Just, that's in me now in a different way. So I totally agree with Scott. You don't, it's not even a thing like that anymore.
You go with where God is going, where the Father takes you. Now, I know, David Fulton, you're pondering all of this, and you said to me in an email, you have many thoughts here, so maybe you should.
I don't see him on there.
He's there. Yeah. He's being quiet this morning.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, yeah, Dave. Oh, his audio may be not on. That's why.
Maybe not.
Maybe he's been talking. We haven't heard him.
No, I don't even see him on the screen.
He's there. His screen is
there. I see him.
Yeah. So while David is trying to find the audio connection, what, Arnold, any thoughts?
Good morning, Mr. Fulton.
Yeah, he's not. Maybe he muted us on purpose. And so.
He's watching a movie.
Yeah.
As I'm listening here, we all had to deal with, and I, me in particular, the issue of sin, being a sinner, having a sin nature, and reconciling that. But it's, and I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, but it's constantly seeking forgiveness for sin that I may not even know, or sin that, I step the line of temptation someplace. And if anything, I think we can support each other in realization that we do not have sin in our lives anymore. And that Christ took care of that. Mm-hmm. We're a new race of people.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there's behavior, there's consequences for that behavior and such.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the realization I'm dead to myself and that Christ is my life. Christ is, and keep on reinforcing that to each other. Like several have said, that's a tremendous freedom. That's a joy. It's a peace. I think Paul was trying to explain to us that he had come to that realization. It was just unfathomable of what that really means to us. And now the freedom to actually express ourselves that Jesus is in control of that, I'm not constantly seeking Father, what's my purpose? Well, reveal it to me, my purpose. And let me operate consistent with that. No, it's more for me that I am in Christ and my I am a representation of God in that sense. And I am one because of Jesus, one with our Father.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, brother.
Yeah.
What do you guys all say to somebody when they say, I'm a sinner? You know, you're talking to a fellow friend or church, someone is going to church, and they use that as their identifier. That's who their identity is. And then, then like Scott's front might say, oh, well, you're dead to that. Well, that they don't. Mm-hmm. Understand it, and it's sometimes it's hard to really even explain it.
Yeah, it is.
Where in the Bible?
Oh, there he is.
There you are, David.
All right, you're back.
Yeah. Where in the Bible does it tell us that we are a sinner? Okay, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
There, you just named it.
Okay, mm-hmm. But Paul talks about being a new creation once we come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ never referred to us as sinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul never refers to us as sinners.
Yeah.
He tells us that's gone.
That's gone.
We're done with that. Mm-hmm. Paul refers to us as saints. He starts mm-hmm. almost every epistle to the saints.
To the saints.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So this whole sinner concept comes from preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me back up here a minute. The common denominator that I see through this whole conversation is all of us at some point started questioning what we're heard.
Yeah.
Now, when I first met Scott, and Scott, correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but when I first met you, I asked you, do you question what comes from the pulpit? And I believe you told me you were always instructed never to question. Mm-hmm. When I worked in the college ministry, I came across that same problem. The college kids were always taught, you do not question what comes from the pulpit.
Right.
You do not question the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so part of my ministry to the college students was teaching them to question. I have a very good friend who I've stayed in contact with when he was in the college ministry, and I started meeting with him. He's now mm-hmm. in his 30s. He's going to seminary, and he struggles with me constantly asking him to question. I went so far as to say, you need to question what you believe, what you mm-hmm. honestly think is true. Mm-hmm. You need to even question that. Now, the question came up today, how do we continue to grow in Christ and grow in the knowledge of Christ in me? I believe part of that growth is going to come from questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've read this story or this scripture years and years ago, and it meant this to me, but is that really what it means now?
Mm-hmm.
So I think our growth is going to hinge on continuing to question. Okay, we all understand now, or seem to understand, that Christ lives in me. But that should continue to bring about more questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because questioning is how we grow.
Mm-hmm.
Then you ask the question, David, is the scripture, have I been wrong about the scripture? Or does the scripture just have different meaning to me now?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think, you know, sometimes we may discover that, yeah, I was wrong about that scripture.
Yeah.
But you're right, Scott. Scripture will always continue to show us something new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So in that same kind of a thing, love has meant something totally new to us. I mean, for something that we've come to is that, am I loving this person for myself, or am I loving this person for Christ? Different love. I'm not loving this person because I'm looking to get what I can get out of this relationship. I'm loving this person because Christ loves this person. I'm loving this person for Christ. And it's interesting. I'm like, to think about that though, like, you think you have a pretty good handle on love, right? Or whatever. Like, so you know,
you're questioning. Yeah.
You really do. Yeah, I think that's
so, like Paul says we're supposed to love our spouse like we love our own bodies.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So David, Fundat, going back to your question, how, when you meet someone like that, maybe the response should be, have you ever questioned that? Who told you that's true?
Right.
Yeah.
And because people are blindly accepting that and not told to question it.
Right.
What I would mention to you, Mr. Foondock, is one of the things, and I've related this to Dennis a couple of times about one of the last times that I stepped foot into New Hope. And it was on an Easter service, and the pastor had just got done telling us about Jesus and the crucifixion and how he had bled and died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the key phrase, forgiveness of our sins. And in the very next breath, he's standing in front of the congregation and he's saying, if there's any of us in the congregation that feel we have unresolved sin issues, you can come up front and we'll pray for you. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you just got through repeating the sermon that said that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. And now you're telling us that we need to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to take care of that. Yeah. So what?
It's more about beings. It comes down to Galatians 5:22.
Yeah.
Being in the spirit, living that way. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, it's about crushing every taking every thought in captivity and crushing sin before it becomes something that it can't
possess in. Yeah, good point. Well, guys, we're drawing up on the close here, I think, of the hour, and it's been really fun. Thank you for being open and sharing. And there are several more of you that we're anxious to hear from. And so for the next coming weeks, this is really the format that we just enjoy hearing each other's stories. And out of that coming the realization of something new and fresh in each of us, all right? More light bulb experiences will happen. Now, I want to remind you that this week on Wednesday, we will have a special edition of Zoom. And if those of you, it's not that everyone's expected, but whoever is available, Dave, and I think, Dave, are you available this Wednesday?
I believe so. Okay. I was just going to check that. What time on Wednesday?
I'm thinking around 10, our usual time that we share.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've already got you on the calendar for that.
All right. So Dave and I will be there. Anyone else want to?
Oh, wait a minute. I may be in court.
Oh.
My son is still going for full custody of his child.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
So I may be there with him.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead, I think, and whoever is available at that hour. I know it's going to meet everybody's schedule, but if you're available, I thought we'd just throw out the option. Beth, you've said in the past that you are interested. I don't know how this week works for you, but.
Yeah, it looks pretty clear.
Okay. So we'll do that Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock. And we'll do more of these from time to time. And
I'll let you know on Wednesday because I won't get the court time until tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, right. I mean, it could be an afternoon thing.
All right.
But I'll let you know.
Very good. So also, as I said earlier to some of you, Scott and I did do a podcast yesterday. And it really follows along this theme that we've been talking about here today. So I'll link you to that, as well as the, so I think Chrissy and Andy were interested in Drifter's interview with Drifter. And I'll link that as well in the follow-up email today. So anything else for now?
Scott, enjoyed your blog post. So that was
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
I try and choose relevant topics for the.
So Scott's fan base is increasing, and
woohoo! And I'm not yet asking for financial donations, so you're saying.
As soon as you do, you're done.
Yeah.
Look at a subscription price on it.
Right. All right, gang. Wonderful as always.
Good stuff. Thank you guys for sharing, everyone. Nice hearing it.
And closing before y'all go.
What's that?
All righty.
Today, December 5th, Prohibition ended. So everybody go out and have a drink.
Yes.
Plus it's St. Nick's Day.
Yes.
St. Nicholas. All right.
Day. Put a shoe in your windowsill.
Yeah. St. Nick's Day. Yeah. All right. Enjoy the end of Prohibition, St. Nick's, whatever else is your celebration. Go for
I'll drink to that. Okay. All right.
All right, gang. All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.